I invite our young disciples to come there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Billy, have you got a bow in your hair? It's beautiful. I love it. Your color. It's adorned. You've adorned your head. That's beautiful. So Christmassy, you know? Okay. I have a book I want to share with you. And some news I want to share with you, okay? You know, Christmas is a time that we celebrate what?
The birth of Jesus.
The birth of Jesus. The birth of a baby, of God coming to be with us in the form of a baby. Well, you see right there on the altar, you see that rose with the white baby's breath all around it? You see that? I have a tradition in my ministry that when a baby is born, we put a rosebud on the altar to announce and to celebrate the birth of that baby. Now, do you think that rose is on the altar for the birth of Jesus?
I don't know.
You don't know. Guess what? There was a baby born this week. And his name is Luke David Griffin, and he is the grandson, he is the grandson of Phil and Anise Griffin over there in the choir, and they are so excited about the birth of this baby, right? Now, we're all excited about the birth of Jesus, but they are really excited about the birth of Luke David, right? So that rose is there to celebrate his birth. And I decided that since it is Christmas, I'm going to give a rose to each of you because I celebrate your births. You were born a while back, but, you know, we're going to celebrate that too today. The title of my book here is God Gave Us Christmas. Do you know this book? Well, I'm going to read it to you because I thought it was a very special book. I've got to learn how to turn pages, though. Mama, little cub asked one night, who invented Christmas? Was it Santa? No, Mama Bear said, God invented Christmas. God gave us Christmas. Is God more important than Santa? Oh, yes, much more important, Mama said with a smile. The next morning, little cub sleepily climbed into her lap. Can we go find Santa, Mama? He lives round here someplace, I think, said Little Bear. Santa is hard to find, said Mama. But we can go find God. God is everywhere. Yahoo! Said Little Cub. I didn't know we could find God. Oh, yes, Mama said. We can always find God. Little Cub looked over her shoulder and whispered, Can we leave them at home? As he pointed to his siblings and his daddy. Yes, Papa will watch the little ones. You and I can go alone. We will go find God. We will see how He gave us Christmas. Yes, little cub, you shall see how God gave us Christmas. The next morning, little cub and Mama Bear filled their packs, kissed their family goodbye, and set off to find God and see how he gave them Christmas. They walked to the top of one mountain and down the rest. And up another mountain where they set up camp. Little Cub was so tired that she went right to sleep. But Mama nudged her while it was still dark. "Mama, why are you waking me up?" "Because it's God, Little Cub. Come and see." "What is that?" Little Cub asked in wonder as she watched the dancing lights in the sky. "That is God at work, Little Cub. He sent his only son as a baby so that we would know light from dark. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is how God gave us Christmas." The next day they arrived at a huge lake. All at once, with a mighty roar, a chunk of ice cut away from the cliff and fell into the sea. "What is that?" Little Cub asked, covering his ears and leaning into Mama Bear. "This is God, Little Cub. He's so powerful, he can command the water to freeze and the glacier to melt. He is mightier than any king on earth. And because he is powerful, he made Jesus king of all kings." "But Jesus was just a baby. How could he be a king?" "All kings begin as babies. God knew we would need someone we could touch and see and smell." Mama paused to sniff Little Cub's neck, making her giggle, to understand just how much he loved each one of us. Mama awoke Little Cub again before the sun came up. She pointed to the east at a star that changed from green to red to green again and shot out in many points. "It's God again," Little Cub asked, rubbing her eyes. "Yes, Jesus is called the Bright Morning Star. He's always with us. And he first came when God gave us Christmas." Sit down. "But what about Santa?" Little Cub asked. "Did God give us Santa?" "Santa Claus reminds us about many good things like generosity and care. But it is God and Jesus that we celebrate most come Christmas. We always want to thank God for giving us Christmas." On the way home, Mama Bear stopped by a tiny flower peeking up from the hard frozen ground. "Oh, you are too early, little flower," she said. "Little Cub, Jesus is like this flower, God in our world, living where you wouldn't expect him, surprising us. Christmas is a lot about surprises." "Like presents?" "Yes, Jesus is the best present of all, and God would have given us that present, even if it was only for you." "Only for me?" "Only for you, Little Cub. God gave you Christmas." Mama and Little Cub came upon a church glowing with warm light. Soft voices reached out to them singing. "What are they singing, Mama?" "About the night God gave us Christmas, when Jesus was born. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Would Jesus have come for mean old Maggie the moose or grumpy old Frankie the fox? Little cub whispered. Maggie, Frankie, any of us, Jesus is a present for everyone. Grumpy or happy, mean or kind, God gave us all Christmas. Little cub was glad to be back at home that night in her cozy bed. Thanks for showing me God, Mama. There isn't anything I'd rather do, sweet child, she said with a kiss. Night, night. Little cub went to sleep and dreamed of bright stars and northern lights, of a king born as a tiny baby, and angels singing over him. And awoke up to Christmas. Yahoo, she cried. God gave us Christmas again. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us Christmas, for loving us enough to show us Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I want each of you to take a rose, and you may do with it as you wish. You may give it to someone, or you may hold on to it yourself, whichever you prefer. There you go. And I want each of you to have a very merry Christmas. Can you grab it? There you go. There you go, Scarlett. Okay. All right. Y'all have a good Christmas. Our second reading comes to us from Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 47. This comes from what we refer to as Mary's song. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in our first reading from the prophet Micah, we hear that what Micah wanted for Israel and the nations of the world, and it is precisely, I think, what Christians believed that the coming of their Christ meant for their world down through the ages: justice, unity, peace. Indeed, I think that is our hope for every Christ follower, especially in this time of Christmas. I think it is the hope for this Christmas, for all of us, that we receive peace, joy, and unity. I invite you to peer into the hope of this season. I am Micah, You probably know me because I wrote one of the books of prophecy that is found in what is called by some the Old Testament. Others call it the Hebrew Bible. I lived in the latter part of the 8th century before the birth of Jesus Christ. I came from Moresheth, a village located 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. It was a part of Judah called Shepha. This is an area about 50 miles long of gently sloping limestone hills and fertile valleys separating the Judean hill country from the western coastal plain. Today, that part of the country is filled with orchards and crops in the valleys and herds of sheep and goats on its steeper regions. Strategic roads crossed through our area, and we would hear from those who traveled of the news from Jerusalem as well as the northern kingdom. As foreign armies invaded our land, often our region was the way the enemy would come. We knew the price of not being prepared, of not being faithful, time and time again. I lived in a time of transition. Both the kingdom of Judah and Israel had prospered in the years before my birth, but now those greater powers around us, such as Assyria, were turning their attention toward us. They were threatening our very existence. I could see those paying the greatest price were the poor and those voiceless among us. I felt called by God to proclaim a warning to all of God's people. At first, I focused on the northern kingdom of Israel, for indeed it was in the greatest danger, if for no other reason, it was located right adjacent to Assyria. And honestly, I found it easier to deal with the problems of another land than my own Judah. The call of Judah would come later to me. And indeed, history showed that the situation in Israel was much more urgent, for I had hardly started my ministry when the northern kingdom fell. It's always easier to see the faults of another than to be honest with our own. And to be honest, it's the only way my land, Judah, avoided the same fate at that time, was by paying huge tributes to Assyria and becoming what you would call a satellite state. And it really broke my heart to see our religious practices corrupted. Of course, you know that a century later, our land would fall as well. Many of those who would call themselves prophets in my time would like to feed the people false optimism. Their ministry ignored reality and chose to play to what people wanted to believe rather than to be brutally honest with what they needed to be warned of. I saw my call as one to alert those who would listen to the danger they were facing and to bring them to rely on God. My name, Micah, comes from the very word in our language that means who is like the Lord. My very name would challenge my listeners to remember the Lord God is our ultimate hope. We must never allow our faith to be shaped by the hope of being successful or to gain popularity. I see much in your times that are similar to the conditions in my time. I see where for some, religion becomes a way of ignoring what we really must deal with. However, faith is never an escape from reality. One of the dangers for those who proclaim false optimism is to believe that God will always forgive without consequences, and we will not have to pay the price for poor decisions. Indeed, we were God's people, but it doesn't mean that we are not responsible for our actions when we turn our back on God. God was born in human flesh at Bethlehem to call us back to where we need to be. God came because God cares, and we must care as well, to know the full depth of the joy of this gift. I'm sure that the reason one of my writings from your Bible is one of the chosen lessons for this time is what I saw in Bethlehem's future. If you could have seen that place 28 centuries ago in my time, it was not at all like today. Today, you will find a busy city. Then it was a small village, a collection of a few homes that shepherds lived in, and there was perhaps an inn or two and a few shops. Today, it is a place where people come on pilgrimage to see. Then it was a kind of place that one would have never noticed if it had not been the birthplace of the greatest king our land had ever had. For it was in Bethlehem that David was born. It was in Bethlehem that Samuel came to find among Jesse's sons the future king for our land. It was in Bethlehem that David was anointed as the future king. But what I proclaimed was far greater, though at the time I did not realize how much greater. What I said, as written in the book called The Message, bearing my name Micah, was this: "But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel. He'll be no upstart, no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished. Meanwhile, Israel will be in foster homes until the birth pangs are over and the child is born, and the scattered brothers come back home to the family of Israel. He will stand tall in his shepherd rule by God's strength, centered in the majesty of God revealed. And the people will have a good and safe home, for the whole world will hold him in respect. Peacemaker of the world." I was seeing Bethlehem and her future by a different standard than we usually use in this world. It was not her size or her power in this world, but it was the one who was to be born there that would make her great. There was no reason to believe this 7 centuries before it happened, except the same thing that had been said when David was chosen to be anointed king. Just as Bethlehem was small, so was David the youngest and least likely candidate among Jesse's sons. But the scripture tells us that God does not look as we look, but rather at the heart. I was seeing Bethlehem as a place where heaven would touch this earth. In your life, God may come in a moment. The world will hardly even notice. But you must be open to God's presence. For as with David and Bethlehem, God's standards are eternal, not of this moment. God's standard of greatness is based on the final outcome and not the immediate impact. I was seeing Bethlehem in a new way. Anyone ever connected to this little village could tell you the story of David. It was a proud part of our nation's history that they took great pride in, but one cannot live in the past. What I was proclaiming was a vision for the future. Yes, A great king had been born in this place many years before, but I was envisioning something even greater. And you know, even after Jesus was born and walked the earth, many still do not understand. I could not proclaim such hope because of anything our people were doing. I could not proclaim such hope because I thought we were worthy of such grace by God. But rather, I could speak of such hope because such love and grace is the very nature of God. And that, my friends, is your hope for today. We can face tomorrow because of the God that is with us today and forever. I can tell you from what I've seen and what was soon to follow my predictions, nations will rise and fall, but God is eternal. I was led by God to proclaim that from the little village of Bethlehem would come the one that would gather his people, protect them, and feed them, as a shepherd would feed his flock. And I saw the boundaries reaching far beyond the borders of our little kingdom and our time to the ends of the earth. And the promise of a new king would make possible for all to dwell secure and to live in peace. Now, of course, this wouldn't happen overnight. There would be difficulties ahead. But God's promise that he allowed me to share so many years ago is not just for the world that I, Micah, lived in, but rather it is a vision for the ages, the possibility of experience in the holy comes to all who open their hearts to the one who was born in Bethlehem. Heaven will touch the earth again each and every time we know Jesus in our hearts. This is a vision that we can grow by. This is a part of God's eternal plan. God allowed me to see the possibilities of what would happen in Bethlehem centuries after I spoke these words. You too need the gift of hope, that no matter how dark the world may grow, God's light is always brighter. Your celebration of Christmas, if it stops at Christmas, can be very misleading. The power of the message that the one I prophesied would come from Bethlehem is far more than a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And while that's important for us to know, that God came in human form and knows our condition, the message must not stop there. We must see beyond the sentiment to worship the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We must know what the proclamation the angels sang of peace on earth, goodwill toward toward all. Even in your day is the reality that is coming. We will yearn for that day, that it will be true in all God's creation. We must follow the one born in Bethlehem, not merely pay homage to a baby in a manger.